We are continuing today in the second week of our current sermon series that I'm just simply calling The Blessed Life. Several weeks ago, as I was trying to prepare and plan for this upcoming series, I really just sought the Lord and asked the Lord for direction and leadership as far as the message is to bring, and it just seemed like the Lord just kept saying to me, just look at the words of Jesus. Just look at the words of Jesus. So that's what we're kind of doing. We're looking at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, your electronic device, however you get to Scripture, I want to encourage you to turn there, Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be there in just a moment as we're talking about the blessed life. We're looking at the eight Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount from our Lord and Savior. Of course, the Sermon on the Mount is actually Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, but we're looking at the eight Beatitudes, the eight ways to be happy, the eight ways to live a blessed life. And certainly we need that because life can be hard from time to time, can it? Just heard a few stories this week about some of you going through some unexpected times, and life can be hard. Sometimes life can throw the curveball and not the fastball. When you're looking for the fastball, the curveball comes, and it just kind of messes you up just a little bit. Life is sometimes very hard. It's very difficult. Since Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, the world was broken, and everything on this planet's just kind of not working right and hasn't worked right since then. Nothing works perfectly anymore. Your body doesn't work perfectly anymore. The weather doesn't work perfectly anymore. The economy doesn't work perfectly anymore. No relationship works perfectly anymore, and life is just full of losses from time to time, and full of disappointments and hurts, some trials and tribulations, some sorrows and sufferings and problems and pressures. We're going to experience that here, but one of these days when we get to heaven, those are all going to be gone, right? We'll not experience that any longer. But this is not heaven. But sometimes we're dealt with some hard blows. We're dealt with some difficult lessons. And we're going to look at what to do when your heart is breaking. And I don't want this to be a doom and gloom message at all, because that's not the intent at all. We're going to look at some of the ways that we can experience, even during a broken heart, we can experience the blessings of God. And we're going to take heart from the Word of God today. How do you rise above inevitable losses in life? And so today we come to Matthew chapter 5, the second of the Beatitudes. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. You guys ready to go? All right, three or four of you are. Let's try this again. You guys ready to roll? You got your Daystar card? Ready to take a few notes? Good deal. Here we go. Blessed are those who mourn. And I've highlighted the word mourn because literally the title of the message this morning is God Blesses Broken Hearts. So God blesses those who mourn. So Scripture says this, they shall be comforted. And the eight ways to be blessed by God, these eight Beatitudes that we're looking at, this is the second one, and it seems ludicrous. I mean, really, when you stop and think about it, it seems so unnormal. It seems so irrational to say the way to be blessed is to mourn. But that's what we're going to look at today. What in the world does he mean by that? What does the Lord mean by that when he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted? God blesses those who mourn. And that's what we're going to focus on just for a few minutes today, how God blesses a broken heart. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now. I'm hoping and I'm praying for a lot of you that you're going through a relatively easy time. It could be that that's not the case for some of you, and you're going through some difficult things. You've actually come here to this place this morning, and your insides are just churning. You've got some turmoil that you're dealing with. You've got some conflict and some chaos that's going on in your heart. You're dealing with all kinds of issues. issues in your life. I don't know, maybe you've had an argument, a disagreement with boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. Maybe there's not enough money to pay the bills this coming week. Maybe you're under some tension right now and you feel a lot of stress, and you've had some things that have caused you some grief that you've had to deal with. You know what? In 35 years of ministry, and in my own personal life, I've dealt with all kinds of grief over these years. I could tell you story after story how that we've just dealt with people going through some very difficult times, and going through a time where their heart is just literally breaking in two. And I've learned a few lessons that I just kind of want to share with you today, so I'm just going to lay my heart open for you. But before we get to those lessons, I just want to kind of give you some insights. And you can jot these down on your Daystar card if you're ready to roll this morning. Here's the first insight that you can jot down, and that is this, that God doesn't expect me to be happy all the time. God doesn't expect me to be happy all the time. That's just a fact of life, that we're just not going to be happy all the time. There's going to, there's kind of this myth out there that once you become a believer in Christ, you should always be smiling, you should always be happy and cheerful, always be talking about peace and love. I just want to tell you this morning, when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that you become a little orphan Annie where the sun's going to come up in the morning's always going to be shining, everything's going smooth, and it's just not going to happen. Because Scripture tells us this, there is a time in life for everything. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, or chapter 3 and verse 1, Scripture says to everything, there is a season. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. Then it goes on and talks about a time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. Then you get down to verse 4, and this is what the Scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. So in other words, we've got a series of opposites here. There is this time to weep. There is this time to laugh. There is this time to mourn. There is this time to dance. And the Bible says that sometimes weeping is appropriate. Sometimes grieving is appropriate. Sometimes mourning is appropriate, because the fact of the matter is this: the world is filled with a lot of sadness. There's a lot of pain on this planet, and the most logical answer is, and the most logical response is, grief from time to time. God doesn't expect me simply to just grin and bear it and stuff your emotions and smile and pretend like everything's going well and everything is fine and you don't run into any storms of life. Not at all. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God blesses you when you grieve. Why does He do that? A lot of people think that the time of grieving is when a loved one dies and we go to a funeral home and we pay our respects and we're going through this process of grieving when someone close to us dies. But the fact of the matter is this, there's a lot of losses in life. You can lose your health, you can lose your job, you can lose your money, you can lose your reputation, you can lose your energy, you can lose your dreams. There are hundreds of things that you could lose in life, and God says the only appropriate response to that is not to fake it, but just go ahead and face it, and face it head on. There's a time for every activity under heaven. And from studying Scripture for years and years, the Bible says that it's okay for me to mourn my losses. That means the bad things that have happened to me. But it's okay to mourn my disappointments. Those are the good things that I wanted to happen that didn't necessarily happen. So there is a time to mourn. We are to grieve over our sins, Scripture tells us. We are to grieve over our sins. I'm to grieve over the sufferings that's going on in the world today. I'm actually to grieve over those who do not know Jesus Christ, who do not have a relationship established with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things in the Bible that tells us that we can grieve over, which means that God doesn't expect me to be happy all the time. Second thing, and you can write this down, here's another insight I was just thinking about, and that is this, that grief is essential to my health. Grief is essential to my health. My emotional health, my spiritual health, my physical health, my mental health. In fact, if you never grieve about anything, if you're never sad about anything, it means one of three things. It could mean this, that you're out of touch with reality, because there's a lot of things going on in this world that we could be sad about. Or it means that you're out of touch with your emotions, that you're living in denial, or it means this, that you just simply don't love. Because when you love and you see something sad, then you grieve. Grief is a painful emotion, but I'm going to tell you this, it is a healthy emotion for us to experience. It's God's gift. It's God's tool that God gives us to get us through the transitions of life, because you see, there's no growth in your life without change. You cannot grow without change. There's no change without loss. You lose some of the old for the new, and there is no loss without pain, and there's no pain without grief. And if you're not going to be able to go through life without grief, then you're missing something very important in your life. Because Scripture tells us this, the Lord says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now, there are two unhealthy reactions that we could go through as far as experiencing loss in our life. One is repression, the other is suppression. Repression is when I try to block out that thought and keep it out of my mind, or that suppression is this, when I'm consciously trying to block a pain. I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just not even going to visit that whatsoever. So when you go through a tough time, your heart is hurting. You're experiencing a time of grief when your heart is breaking. God doesn't want you to repress it. God doesn't want you to suppress it. Actually, God wants you to confess it. God wants you to express it to friends, but He wants you to confess it to Him. And when you do, you're on the road to healing as far as grief and mourning is concerned. Here's the last thing you can write down, last insight that I was thinking about this week, and that is this. If I don't let it out, I'll act it out. If I don't let it out in healthy ways, I'll act it out in unhealthy ways. Some of you could be, you were hurt many years ago, and as a result of that hurt, I mean, it hurt you very deeply, but you didn't know how to deal with it, and you didn't know how to grieve over it, and so you just kind of pushed it down, you stuffed it down, and you never grieved over that hurt that came in your heart and your life. Now, please listen to me. This is one of the most important things that you're gonna learn in your life, and that is this. When you don't grieve, when you don't go through that process of grief, when that pain happens, then you're actually going to get stuck in a stage of life. And what I mean by that is this, if you don't deal with it, then it's going to be constantly coming back up in your heart and your mind and your life, and you've not dealt with it, and it's going to be there. It's kind of like a sore. You just keep picking at it. It's kind of festering. You don't deal with it. And it's just going to get worse with time. It's not fair, and it's an unhealthy thing to kind of stuff that grief, that time of mourning. As a matter of fact, David said it this way. David said this in Psalm chapter 32 and verse 3. He said, "When I kept silent," he said, "my bones grew old." When I didn't talk about it, when I didn't deal with it, when I repressed it, he said, "my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long." So when you go through a loss in life, whether it's a loss of a dear friend, a loss of a family member, a loss of a job, loss of a deal that you were hoping to come through, when you go through some sort of loss in life, when you go through that, you can either you can groan about it or you can moan about it. And groaning is negative, and moaning, we're going to see from Scripture, is very positive. So David said this, Psalm 39 and verse 2, he said, "When I was mute with silence, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up." In other words, David said this, when I didn't deal with it, when I just tried to grin and bear it, and I tried to act like everything was okay and I didn't deal with it, what happens in my distress? It says my sorrow just gets worse. It just gets harder to deal with. So what I'm saying is this, the things that happen to you that cause you to grieve, that cause you a time of mourning, they may come to you, that might come to you outside of your choice. But I'm going to tell you something, grief is a choice. And it's a healthy choice. And it's a choice that we need to look at and deal with here. So today I want us to look at God blesses those who mourn. God blesses those who are experiencing a broken heart. I want God to bless your life. You know that. I pray for you. I pray for God's richest blessings to rest on you. I want God to bless your life in spite of all the things that have happened to you, in spite of all the things that will happen to you. And in order for God to bless your life, Jesus said this. He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Well, how can this take place, this grieving process? I think there are six things that I want to give you today. And these are going to go pretty quickly. I want to give you six things how you can experience happiness even in the midst of a time of grief. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Six ways that God blesses a broken heart. And I've learned from experience that you can't go over grief, you can't go under grief, you can't go around grief, you have to go through grief. So let's talk about this just for a minute. How can we be happy in the midst of a broken heart? It's possible. The Lord says, "Blessed or happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." All right, here's the first thing you can jot down. The first way God blesses a broken heart, and that is this. God draws us close to Himself when we experience a broken heart. How about a hearty amen right there? God draws close to us when we're experiencing a broken heart. Psalm 34:18, Scripture says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." You know, sometimes when we're grieving, we feel like God's a million miles away. He's not. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. The Bible says that He's near. There's another great promise in the Word of God that says this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." That means even in your worst pain, that means even in your most embarrassing, you know, your most embarrassing disgrace, that means even in the most massive failure of your life, that means even in that time when you're most ashamed, Jesus said this, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, "As sorrowful yet always rejoicing." Now what in the world does that mean? How is that possible? How can you be sorrowful yet still rejoicing? There's only one word, and that is Jesus. Jesus makes all the difference in the world. So when we have a broken heart and we're experiencing a broken heart, just understand and realize this, that God draws near to you in that particular point in time in your life. You may feel like He's 100,000 million miles away, but He is so very close. God never intended for you to handle your pain by yourself, so He's there to help you in your time of brokenness. So here's the second thing. You can jot this down. The Bible says that God draws close to us, but then God grieves with us. We're experiencing a broken heart. God grieves with us. The reason you have the ability to grieve is because we're made in the image of God. And the only reason that we have any emotion at all is because God is an emotional God. The Bible tells us that God grieves, even has the ability to weep. In other words, God is a suffering God. God is a sympathetic God. He suffers with us. Isaiah said this in chapter 53 in verse 3. He said, "He is despised," speaking of Jesus, "rejected of men, a man of sorrows," and don't miss this, "He's acquainted with grief." That means this, that God grieves with us. Let me give you a classic example from Scripture. You remember when Jesus' friend Lazarus died? John chapter 11. We read this in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. It says, "Therefore, when Jesus saw Lazarus' sister weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." Now notice this. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." And then I love this verse. You guys know this. It's the shortest verse in all the Bible. And the shortest verse in all the Bible says two words, that Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Now I've highlighted the word love there because grief is actually evidence of love. And the more you love, the more you're going to grieve about things. And the more you love, the more you're going to understand grief. So Jesus just simply starts crying. So we have a God that sympathizes with us, who understands, who knows us. And the Scripture just tells us here that he starts crying. Guys, you know this, but we're not real good at expressing our emotions from time to time. And it's difficult for us at times. We don't like negative feelings, do we? We don't like to deal with those. And parents, let me just issue a word of caution to you. One of the things that my dad used to say to me when I would get in trouble and start crying a little bit, even if I would get a spanking that we call it today, back then it was a whipping, and you know, oftentimes I would hear this: "Stop your crying." Be very careful. Be very careful about dealing with children like that. Trying to stop their emotions that they're dealing with. So be very careful with that. Do you really want them to stop crying? Do you really want them to suppress their emotion? It says here that Jesus wept. And it says that Jesus loves. Never be embarrassed by your tears. Sadness is not evidence of weakness. Jesus was the strongest man that ever lived, and yet he was very comfortable with weeping. In fact, the Bible says this about Jesus in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." So understand something, that when you're going through a broken heart, number one, just understand that the Lord goes through this with us. The Lord grieves with us, and he draws close to us when we have a broken heart. Here's the third thing. You can jot this down. I love this about Daystar Church here. God gives us a church family for support. God never meant for you to go through life on your own. He never meant for you to go through grief on your own. And there's actually a statement that I make at weddings often. I'll make it, I think at Lee and Shelby's wedding coming up. I'll make it at Christina and Avery's wedding coming up. And that is this. When you share a joy, it's doubled. When you share a sorrow, it's half. And God says, I think that we are to grieve. It's in community. Healing comes in group. Healing comes from church family. And I love this about Daystar Church. We're better together than we are apart. We are better together than we are separate. So I want you to check out three verses in Romans chapter 12. And Romans chapter 12, verse 5, here's the first one. So we being many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. So understand something, we're one body in Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And then verse 15 says this, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, then these are commands for us to follow. That's what the church family does. They come alongside one another, and they are a support for those going through difficult times, going through broken hearts. Now, we need each other, and we belong to each other. And you could actually turn to that person sitting around you and say, you know what, you actually belong to me as a church family. And here's one of the things that I pray for us as a church family. I pray that God would manifest Himself strong in our hearts and lives each and every time we come together for corporate worship. I also pray that God would manifest His presence for at least 1 second in every heart and every life. Because God can do more in 1 second than we could do in 70 minutes of a church service. And then I pray for a good, sweet spirit among our people, where we can come together, we can pray together, we can fellowship together, we can worship together, we can lift high the holy name of Jesus, we can look at the Word together, and listen, we can draw strength and help and encouragement from one another. So God gives us a church family. We don't have to grieve alone. We don't have to experience that broken heart all alone. We can do it together. And I thank God for our church family. I really do. I praise the Lord for our church family. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You might be thinking to yourself right now, you know, when I get around someone and they're experiencing a broken heart, I don't know what to say. Just weep when they weep. Just weep with them. Just be there and listen. So, and that'll do more than you could ever imagine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says this, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. So let me give you a couple of suggestions here, because right now you are in one of two positions, and that is this. You are either going through pain right now, you are experiencing some sort of a broken heart right now, and you need to be comforted. Or number two, you're not going through any significant pain right now, your heart is not broken right now, and you need to comfort someone else. You either need comfort or you need to be a comforter. And in order to be a comforter, you've got to be aware. You've got to know what's going on. If you care, you're going to be aware of what's going on. There are people probably sitting very close to you right now this morning that are experiencing some sort of broken heart, some sort of pain. Let me give you a couple of suggestions for comforting people when they're going through a broken heart and they're going through a time of grief, of any kind of loss. I mean, it could be a financial loss, it could be a physical loss, it could be a health loss, it could be a loss of a loved one. And that is this. Number one, never minimize another's pain. Never minimize another's pain. The typical reaction when somebody's hurting that you love, that you care about, is you want to stop the hurt. But I'm going to tell you something, you can't stop the hurt. Let God take care of that. You just be there. Never minimize the pain that they're going through, but be there for them. And that's the second thing, is never rush people. Never rush people. Grief takes time. And you figure that out as you go along, because it affects one person one way, another person another way. So you just show grace to each other and you show love and support to one another. Amen? So God gives us a family to go through a broken heart together with. All right? Here's a fourth thing that you can jot down. And that is this, that God uses grief to help us grow. God uses grief to help us grow. God uses pain to help us grow. He does it in three different ways. I'm going to give you three different verses here and kind of show you the way that He does it. God uses pain, number one, to get our attention. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, God whispers to us at our pleasure, but God shouts to us in our pain. Pain is like God's megaphone. It's like God saying, hello. I mean, it gets your attention when you're going through a difficult time, when you're going through some pain. We rarely change when we see the light, but we change when we feel the heat. So Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 30 says this, blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change. So God uses grief to sometimes get our attention. Here's the second thing. He brings good out of bad. And I'm so thankful for this. He brings good out of bad. One of the most famous verses in all of the Bible is Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where it says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. It's an opportunity to grow in character when you're going through a broken heart, when you're experiencing pain. Every time you go through pain, you might not be able to control the pain, but I can tell you this, it'll either make you bitter or it'll make you better. And you do have an option there. You can use it as a stepping stone or you can use it as a stumbling block. God brings good out of our pain. Here's the third thing. You can kind of jot this down on your card somewhere. Didn't leave you a place to write it down, but that is this. He does this to prepare us for eternity. He allows it to happen to prepare us for eternity. A couple of verses that I want to point out to you here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, for our light affliction. Now, wait a minute. When you're experiencing a broken heart, it doesn't seem like light affliction, does it? No, it doesn't. But our light affliction, Paul says, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. God says that these troubles we go through, the times of heartache that we go through, they're getting us ready for an eternal glory. Years ago, I was on a mission trip in Germany, and I was with, I think there was about 19 other pastors, missionary friends that we were traveling with. And one of the places that we went while we were in Germany was the Buchenwald concentration camp. And I'm telling you, the hair on the back of my neck just kind of stands out just thinking about that particular place, because as soon as we walked on the grounds, I mean, as soon as we drove on the grounds, you could just sense this eeriness. I don't know how else to describe it to you. It's bad, and you just could sense it. And studies have shown that people who endured the concentration camps in World War II, many died, but there were some that survived. And those who survived, they found meaning and purpose in their pain. Those who saw no meaning and purpose, they just simply gave up. Now, why I told you that is so that I could tell you this. You can handle an enormous amount of pain when you realize that there's going to be good come from it. When you realize that there's a good purpose in it, God allows us sometimes to go through this to bring us to the other side, to help us to grow in our relationship with Him. So we understand that God blesses those who mourn. God blesses those who mourn because He's going to comfort their hearts. Let me give you the fifth way that God comforts us when we mourn, and that is this, that God gives us the hope of heaven. Aren't you glad this life is not all there is? God gives us the great hope of heaven. When we're going through a hard time, going through a broken heart, we understand that it's not going to last forever. We've got this great hope of heaven. I'm going to tell you something. If there were no hope of heaven whatsoever, we'd be in great despair today because of everything that's going on in our world today. There's just too much bad. I mean, there are too many people being molested. There are too many rapes. There's too many children being abused. And the list could just go on and on and on. Too many wars. Too many people being tortured. And the Bible says this, talking about believers who have died in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that you sorrow as others who have no hope. Paul says we're not to grieve like those who have no hope. Yeah, it's okay for us to grieve, but we're to grieve like those who have hope. Two kinds of people in this world, those with hope and those without hope. And the Bible says we have a great hope, and our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a great verse. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, the Bible says, one of these days God's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. One of these days God's going to wipe away every tear from every eye. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more sickness. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more dying. And that is the great hope we have. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Here's the last thing that you can jot down, and we're finished this morning, and that is this. And it's a big one. And that is that God uses our pain to help others. God uses our pain to help others. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain on that you're going through. Be willing to help others as a result of it. God uses our pain so that He could use us to help others. Who better to help a special needs child than a mother of a special needs child? Who better to help someone who's lost a son or a daughter than someone who has lost a son or a daughter? Who better to help someone go through the pain of addiction than someone who has gone through the pain of an addiction? God doesn't want you to waste your pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Scripture says, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able, here it is, to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now close your Bible. Let me talk to you just for a second as Michael comes and we prepare to close this up, close this out, and wrap this up here. You can jot this down on your card. I didn't leave a place for you to fill in the blank, but I did put it on the screen, and that is this. Your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest hurt. Your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest hurt. Here's the bottom line. We're in a broken world. We live in a broken world. Nothing works perfectly anymore. That means that every day you either need comfort or you need to comfort others. So let me ask you, where are you right now? What's going on in your heart and your life right now? Are you experiencing that time of a broken heart, pain? Well, you can take heart and realize and understand something this morning, that God draws us close to Himself when we're going through that pain of a broken heart. God grieves with us. God gives us, He gives us a church family. God helps us grow in our time of grief. God gives us the hope of heaven, and then God allows us to help others that are going through something similar that we've gone through. So if you're going through a tough time right now, the Bible says that we're to comfort one another. with the comfort whereby we have been comforted by God. That's what families do. That's what we are to do. I asked Michael to consider singing the song, the last song that we did today. I've just not been able to get away from this. It's the lyrics of this song just keeps going through my mind and my heart over and over again. Are you broken and hurting within? Let me tell you what makes all the difference in the world, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you're among people that love you and care about you. You're among people that have actually even prayed for you this week. And there would be no greater time for you to take care of that matter than today. You realize that you're a sinner. You realize that your sins separate you from God. You realize that Jesus paid that penalty for you when He died on the cross, was buried, and He rose again and is alive today. If you'd be willing to invite Him, receive Him as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sin, establish a relationship with Him, then you'll experience an eternity in heaven. As wonderful as that is, we get to experience His presence every step of the way while we're here. Look, we all go through hard times. We all go through difficult times. We all go through broken hearts. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So we've looked at kind of six ways that you can be comforted during your time of broken heart. So let these kind of sink down in your heart and your life now. Let's don't just take some notes and jot down a few things and walk out of here the same way that we walked in here, but let's walk out with this message sealed in our heart and our life. Maybe you're here today and you need some help and you need some comfort. Maybe you're here today and you're hurting. Maybe you're here today and everything's going well and you're experiencing the mountaintop. God bless you. I'm so happy for you. But then maybe you can help those that are hurting. So allow God to use you during your time of grief. Allow God to use you even during a broken heart, because blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's pray about that this morning.